This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. For generations, Native Americans were not well represented in the mainstream art world. A new exhibit on view at the National Museum in Durham begins to correct this historical oversight. Art for a New Understanding, Native Voices, 1950s to Now, features paintings, performances, photography, and much, much more. Andrea Carlson is one of the artists featured in the exhibit. She is Ojibwe, and she is based in Chicago. Her work often showcases landscapes and storied objects, and she joins us now. Andrea, welcome.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for having me on.
It's good to have you here. You have a large, rich piece on display at the Nasher. As we say, the exhibit is called Art for a New Understanding. Your piece is called Ink Babble. Tell us about it.
So the overarching theme of my work has been about storytelling and how stories and narratives get placed on objects. I am a painter and drawer, and I make objects. So I've been thinking a lot about narrative, the power of storytelling over objects. So Ink Babble is about language, storytelling, identity, and diaspora, how these things travel across landscapes. So the piece is made up of 60 panels to kind of fight or to counter stasis in art, or how objects are fairly static, and to really hit the ideas home of storytelling, I put sequenced imagery that would just repeat again and again throughout the cells, which is apparent in Ink Babble.
Several landscapes really stacked one on top of another. Tell us about the role of these landscapes, because it's a fascinating idea, the way stories get imposed on objects and, of course, superimposed. And then as new storytellers come in, they get to control the narrative. The same landscape, the same object may tell a very, very different story. And it seems to me you bring that to our attention.
I think that the history of landscape painting, as far as a Western tradition, is really interesting. Landscape has historically come out of, you know, maybe Flemish landscapes, or even how world leaders have seen landscapes and have used them as political devices. They are, you know, typically these little chunks, these little bite-sized pieces of the land. And how, when you think of settler colonization, when you think of land conquest, there is this romanticizing landscapes that happens. So I would say that when an Indigenous person references the landscape, there is something else. There's another narrative that is happening there. When I consider the landscape, I consider this unified sphere that we all live on, topologically speaking. We can cut it up into pieces and imagine it as separate landscapes, but there is actually just one landscape, continual surface of a sphere that we all live on. So I think about that a lot in my work and other pieces that I've done. I'll have a continuous landscape that goes from piece to piece at the same horizon line and the same level. But I'm kind of thinking about that as like an illusion or a mirage.
How does your identity as an Indigenous person fit into your art, or does it?
So I think that it definitely fits into my art when I'm talking about things like colonization and the kind of way that I relate to land and objects. Also, when I was first starting out in my career, I was thinking a lot about language and how we use language, and how my art, if I continue to make it, ends up being displayed in museums. And we know the history of museums come from a long tradition of colonization. They come out of conquest. When you think of the curio cabinets of Europe, those were objects that were collected out of the colonies, out of landscapes of the dispossessed. And some of the desires of collecting things, especially in collections that relate to encyclopedic collections or ethnographic collections, they have this this goal of collecting for posterity, of collecting with the anticipation that Indigenous people would be assimilated culturally and that we wouldn't continue on. So our objects were collected, put in museums, and we survived. And we are still making things, and we are alive now. So when I bring my work to a museum and it has this history, it comes from colonization, it seems like a very defiant act just within itself. And so a lot of my previous works dealt with the problematic space of museums and how I'm occupying the space that I was not supposed to in 2019 occupy. I was supposed to have been assimilated. My ancestors were. So I think this is a really interesting show. I think this is a really important show with that context. And I feel like that in a maybe more abstract way relates to how my identity relates to my work.
Well, it is interesting to think about, as you say, some of the subversive nature of the work itself and where it's presented and how it's presented. And yet there's always this troublesome term, native art, and I wonder how you feel mm-hmm. about that term and where that fits into this whole conversation.
I have an interesting relationship with the term because I can see how the idea can be useful as a political strategy or as a tactic. When Native people have solidarity for each other, and when we join forces, we have more strength and power. At the same time, there's different nations that have different desires, sometimes that have conflicts with each other. So I see the term as hard as far as I am a Native person who makes art. I also am a woman, and I have a problem with the term, you know, women's art, because I feel that sometimes these are very broad-reaching and essentializing concepts that can overshadow what we're actually saying, and it can make me a subject as opposed to me having subjects. I can become a curiosity or an anthropological subject. So I feel like I relate to the term. I can see how important it is to build solidarity and to build power, but I can also see how it can hurt artists who have a very particular voice.
I am talking to Andrea Carlson, an artist who is, among other things, Ojibwe and based in Chicago. Her work featured in the exhibit Art for a New Understanding, Native Voices 1950s to Today, on view at the Nasher Museum of Art in Durham. I want to bring in another guest to talk more broadly about this exhibit. Jenny Tone Pahote is a professor in the Department of American Studies at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Welcome, Jenny.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you. Tell us about because Andrea is just talking about the breadth of art that Native artists produce, which is when the term Native art becomes, you know, a problem. Talk about the breadth and the scope of this particular exhibit.
What's wonderful about this exhibit is actually the breadth and scope of it. The fact that the exhibition includes two-dimensional painting, like Andrew creates, but sculpture, and it includes weaving as well, and baskets, and it includes the works of artists that create objects in a number of media in a way that allows you to see the diversity of art forms that people are creating now. It also gives you the opportunity to sort of hear or see, you know, different perspectives and critiques on an array of issues. So that to me is a strength of the exhibit, just having that opportunity to see multiple perspectives, multiple artists, and the way that the story has sort of placed all of these in conversation to think about what contemporary art is, what contemporary Native art is now, and you know how artists have sort of also brought us to this place. Is fascinating.
Tell us more about the variety of media that are included in the exhibit, and again, what it tells us about the relationship between these artists and modern America.
Okay, so. So in thinking about the media, we have to walk back just a little bit. So, as Native artists were becoming a much greater having a greater presence in the art world, one of the first sort of sets of objects to be included in that conversation is painting. And so there are paintings here from the 1950s and 60s created by artists who are also working in kind of modernist media, using abstraction in their work in the 1950s and 60s. And so so that engagement with modernism has been part of, modernism and modernity has been part of American Indian art throughout the 20th century. But the other facet of this that is, I think, so important is that because painting and sculpture were sort of brought into the conversation about art early on, it meant that it's taken, I think it's taken longer for works in other media to be included in the conversation. And so when we think about works in the exhibit, I think right away about a series of or set of baskets made by Shan Goshorn, who's Eastern Band Cherokee, who creates baskets from images of historical documents and maps and asks us to think about how histories are created and communicated in different ways. And so that idea of having different media included in an exhibit like this means that it invites us to think about in the case of those baskets, historical issues in a different way, and it invites us to think about contemporary art in multiple lenses.
Well, I wonder about that, Andrea Carlson, right on that particular theme. Andrea, I remember there was an interviewer, and he was talking to writers, in this case, Frank McCourt and Toni Morrison. And the question he put to them was, what's it like to write in the colonizer's language, in the case of an Irish writer and an African-American writer? And I thought it was a fascinating question, and in a sense, I'll put the question to you as an artist, as a painter, in 21st century America, what's it like to work within that aesthetic coming from with your background?
Well, I would say that a lot of Native artists are used to these really problematic spaces, are used to working, in museums that it carries a different emotional weight to it. I was born in 1979, and I had all of the materials that any other non-Native artist had available to them. I'll tell a quick story about when I was in grad school about the denial of contemporaneity. I had some work up that I was having critiqued. I was a guest artist that was in to critique my work. And I was making work on paper, and it was about how land is ceded and deeded in the process of colonization, that abstract process that this piece of paper can take away actual land. And that was what the piece that I was working on was called, Paper Trails. So it was on paper. The guest critique said that if I was so Native American, why wasn't I painting on buckskin? And that really, it was kind of an unexpected thing, but I also understood how authenticity gets used against Native artists, how we're supposed to be players of the past and how we're not supposed to participate in contemporary society with contemporary materials, and how our very existence is seen as anachronistic to settlers who have tried their darndest to disappear us, to vanish us. So I had a very excellent teacher named Kinji Akagawa, who kind of stepped in front of the question and the intent of the question, and he said, "Andrea, do not answer that question." He said, "I am Japanese, and I, make a work that does not involve sumi ink on rice paper, and I am still Japanese, and I do not feel this denial of contemporaneity. I can use whatever materials I want to, and it doesn't challenge my identity in the same way as a Native American, using materials that are available to them. It in some way would invalidate her identity or make her less than. So I think that when it comes to my access to materials and whatever form that I wanted my art to take, I've always felt like I can do that, and I don't need, you know, I don't need to racially perform in a particular way, or I don't need to make work that has a particular signifier in it for myself to be Native. So I think that it's a very complicated space for Native people to exist in.
Jenny, how does this exhibit either further complicate that, but also explicate, I think, in some ways, explain for us a little better what we're facing today?
Well, I mean, I think that the exhibit does a great job of really showing that Native art, or that art by American Indian artists, by Native artists, has always been sort of situated and in discussion, especially in the 20th century, with modernity and modernism, that Native artists and Native people are part of the same timeline as everyone else. And so one of the ways that I think this this exhibit does that is by also featuring artists who use art as a way, who also, well, create art that also has a level of commentary to it as well. And so it also kind of invites us to kind of ask questions about, you know, what are the popular representations of Native people? How do these works invite us to question that?
Jenny Tone Pahode is a professor in the Department of American Studies at UNC Chapel Hill. Andrea Carlson, an artist featured in Art for a New Understanding, Native Voices 1950 to Now at the Nasher. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.